Okay, hi guys, welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to my show. What do you say for a podcast? Hi guys, welcome back. Hey girls and gays and theys, and honestly maybe some straights, I don't know. If you're here, your family, thank you for coming. Is that Olive Garden's like saying, when you're here, your family? What is that? Anyway, do y'all mind that I'm laying like this? I'll sit up better. Okay, hi guys, welcome back to X's and O's, a podcast where we talk about queer relationships and sex. I'm your host, Shannon Beveridge, and it is episode 20 or 21, and it's the first time I'm ever not wearing a hat, I'm pretty sure, is right now. So, forehead reveal, you've probably seen it before, but you're seeing it again today on the podcast. Okay, don't look at it for too long. Anyway, so I've realized that I'm like, don't know what I'm going to talk about a lot of times when I'm doing my intros. So this week I decided to write stuff down as I thought, like, you know, I could talk about that on the podcast. So I have like a list of talking points that just were things that came up to me, came to me during the week. So I'm going to talk about those things. But if you are watching or listening, you're on Spotify, if you're on iTunes, if you're on YouTube, wherever you're watching, if you don't mind leaving a rating or liking the YouTube video or commenting something below, I really appreciate it. Every bit of feedback helps. It makes the podcast do better. And yeah, if you're just sitting there and you have the time, I would really, really appreciate it and love you so much for doing it. So, okay, let's get into my talking points. I want to talk about Ubers quickly. If you don't know, I live on a really, really steep hill in Los Angeles, like a very steep hill, steeper than most hills are in LA. Honestly, it's giving San Francisco more than anything else. And this week I had two separate Uber drivers come to get me, and they go to the top of my hill. Mind you, I don't live at the very top of the hill. I'm like in the middle of the hill, towards the top of the hill. Not the top though, not the very top. I had two Ubers this week come to get me and park at the top of the hill and watch me walk up this fucking steep ass hill. I'm like, it would take them no effort at all to just drive down to get me. Like, literally just come get me, please. But no, they've been waiting for me to walk up to them. And I'm like, would you do that to a lady? I am a lady. I'm just a sweet girl. I am a girl at the end of the day. Could you please fucking come and get me? Anyway, that's been bothering me, and I wanted to share. I just think that where are the gentlemen in the world anymore, honestly? But also on the same topic of Ubers, I also, in the month of April, took the same Uber twice. Like, two times I had the same Uber. One time in Canada, I got picked up by this guy, and his back seat of the car was like really leaned back. And then like three nights later, we called an Uber again, and I'm in the back of this Uber, and I'm like, God, it's so leaned back. And I'm like, there's no way this is the same Uber. It was. So that happened in Toronto. Then in Los Angeles recently, I got picked up. It goes back to the hill again. This guy probably should not be an Uber. I don't think he knows how to drive. And it was a really scary experience the first time he picked me up. He hit a pole on my street with his van, backed up into it. We didn't talk about it. Very quiet. No talking. And I was so stressed out. I was on the phone when it was happening, and it was so stressful. I had to hang up the phone and text the person and be like, so sorry, like, I'm going through a really stressful situation right now. Also, he kept locking and unlocking the car the whole time. It was very bizarre. Anyway, horrible Uber ride. The car was filthy and he couldn't drive. He was a very bad driver. Tell me why this guy picked me up again. Literally same guy. And I was with someone and I was like, I swear to God, this is the fucking guy. This is the guy who picked me up and hit the pole on my street. He had a very distinct dent in the back of his car, and it was not from hitting the telephone pole, don't worry. But I noticed it before we got in the car. And I was like, oh my God, I think it's him. We get in. I had taken a picture of the car to send because it was so dirty and weird. I compare the photo. He's got the same Kleenex box on the floor. It's the same guy. He drove us into oncoming traffic, or he tried to. I felt so bad because I had to like yell at him to be like, oh my God, no. Anyway, what are the odds that guy got me again? And I feel like, honestly, I should report him to Uber. It's that bad. Like, his driving is that poor. I don't even care about your car if it's a little dirty, whatever. I don't, that has nothing to do with anything. But the safety of my life and, like, anyone else's life in his car, I'm worried. I'm worried. It was a terrifying experience. Anyway, that's one of my things I wanted to talk about this week on my intro. Let's see what else I got. I've seen recently a lot of people saying, like, they keep seeing me everywhere. And I think that's obviously, I'm, like, going on other people's podcasts. I think maybe there's two coming out this week that I was on, at least one. I'm going to be on the Scrubbing In podcast with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad. So check that out. I think it comes out on Thursday. But yeah, I've seen comments of people being like, wow, Shannon's everywhere. And I wrote this one in the middle of the night, but it's so funny because I agree, because I'm obviously doing more, I'm like doing more public appearances and stuff so that I can promote my podcast. And like, I'm working on a lot more stuff right now than I was maybe in the last 3 years. But the funniest place that you may have seen me recently, and I wonder if anyone did, I doubt that you did, but I was on the Jennifer Hudson show, like in the audience as an audience member. And they sat us like right on the edge where a camera was filming the whole time, and we did end up on the TV. Me and my friend Christy, we went to support Christy's friend from Kansas, and yeah, they like wanted to film our reactions. It is so random. Why was I in the audience of Jennifer Hudson's show? Well, I just told you why, but imagine you're just like at home watching, you're like, is that Shannon? It was me. If you saw me, it was me. So yeah, I am everywhere. And that also leads to something else I talked about. I think I may have talked about it on the Scrubbing In podcast, but you know, like those jokes about like, I want to be mysterious, but me after one drink, and it's like, you talk so much. I want to be mysterious. There is nothing mysterious about someone with a podcast. I can't believe how much information I am sharing daily. Like, feels like daily. Obviously, it's weekly. But then going on other podcasts too, I'm like, damn, how am I supposed to... I can't be mysterious. I literally can't be mysterious anymore. And I want to be a little more mysterious, but also I guess that is the sacrifice you make. And also ironically leads to another thing I want to talk about, which is Snapchat. I'm back on Snapchat. I forgot it was so fun, and it's so much more fun to post on there than it is like Instagram stories, because I just feel I can be more myself. So anyway, I've been posting on Snapchat. So I'm like, oh my God, I have a podcast. I'm posting on Snapchat constantly. I have Instagram stories. I have to tweet. I'm on TikTok. I'm like, I'm so sick of myself. But we're just getting started. So I hope you guys will stick around. And I hope you love this episode. I am obsessed with G Flip. It sounds weird to say that, right? But G Flip. Yeah, I am obsessed with G Flip. They are the nicest person ever. And the conversation was just so easy. And at times it's like I kind of forgot I was filming a podcast and I was just like having a conversation with someone. So anyway, I hope you guys love it. I hope it translates well. We also filmed extra content for Patreon. We reacted to the music video that G Flip did with Chrishell, their like first video, music video. You may know it, but you can watch us react to it, and it was a great time. And if you want to check out my Patreon, or yeah, anything else, always the links are always in the bio. But yeah, it's patreon.com/nowthisisliving. Pretty easy. I have a couple extra things. This is long. This is a long intro. Okay. Life hack for anyone who doesn't like getting their nails painted, but you want your nails to look nice. And this is not new news, but maybe you've not heard of it, or maybe you've just never thought to do it. Go get your nails buffed. I got my nails buffed this week and I'm like, okay, they're so shiny. They're kind of less shiny now, but it felt so good to get it done, and then also to just like clean up your cuticles and like be look nice. Like, it feels nice. It's nice to have clean, nice nails and hands, especially I think as a queer woman, it's kind of like important. So if you never thought about it, I highly recommend. It was a fun experience and I probably will be doing it again. And also, don't be shy or embarrassed. I think for me, for a long time, going to a nail salon was really intimidating because it's not really in my comfort zone. And I know I don't want nail polish, and I know I don't want like color on my nails. And I think it felt like embarrassing to go and ask them to not paint them. But don't be embarrassed. It's not embarrassing. Lots of people do it. I'm sure like straight people probably are doing that too. Straight girls, just to like make it look nice. So I recommend checking it out or doing it. And it's also cheap. It was $30 in LA. Like, how much is that? Not in LA. In Texas, it'd probably be like $10. Last thing I want to talk about, and this is just a memory that came back to me this week, and me and G talk a little bit about how both of us have ADHD in this episode. I think we talk about it actually quite a bit. But anyway, I had a memory that I forgot that one time I was prescribed an Adderall that was a patch, like a sticky patch that you put on your arm or on your hip. And I told someone this the other day and they were like, what? Like, I've never heard of that in my life. So has anyone ever heard of that? Because I was using that. And I also became really allergic to the patches because I'm allergic to like adhesive and sometimes latex, I think. So I would like blow up with a welt every time I was using it. But my doctor prescribed me that and then I had to get off of it. But have you ever heard of it? Anyone? It looks like a Band-Aid. It looks like a nicotine patch, but it was for Adderall. I don't know what the actual drug was, but for ADHD. So I want to know if anyone's ever heard of it. Okay. And finally, to end it all off, my mental health check for the week. I feel good. And I feel like that is going to get boring if I keep feeling good all the time. But also, I'm so happy that I feel good. It's so nice. I was joking with someone about therapy and how I had therapy this week. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm... Trust me, there's things I need to work on and things I should talk about. But do you ever sit down for a therapy session and you're just like, what do I say? Like, what do I have to say this week? And that's what happened to me this week. And I felt like I was kind of almost like making shit up by the end of it. But obviously, I think even when that happens, then stuff comes out and like little things. And we ended up talking about some good stuff. And one of those things was intrusive thoughts. I don't know if you guys have them. I have them. I've had them for a long time. And my therapist said something about it that is so obvious, but I just had never heard anyone say it quite like that. But I was complaining about having intrusive thoughts and how frustrating it is. And she was like, well, yeah, of course. Like, the definition of an intrusive thought is like an uninvited thought. Like, you didn't ask for those thoughts to show up and then they're just there. And of course, that's really frustrating and annoying. And I was like, oh my God, these uninvited intrusive thoughts. I hate them. They're so frustrating. Because you also, we have a tendency as humans to give weight to our thoughts when in reality, so many of the things that we think mean very little. And it's just your brain's way of just like firing all the time. But yeah, I feel like when they're intrusive thoughts or like really negative thoughts or thoughts that kind of like make you question yourself or doubt yourself, they're more frustrating. So anyway, my mental health is good. My intrusive thoughts are happening, but they always happen. So tis what it is. Okay, long intro. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Anyway, again, check out my Patreon. Rate or rank or comment or like the podcast today if you have time. I really appreciate it. And I hope you love the episode. Okay, bye. Oh yeah, about this.
So I was late. And when I was in the car, I was like, you know, how can I make it up to Shannon? I'll quickly make Shannon an AI song.
And it's amazing.
And it's actually it's amazing. And it turns out you've got all the secrets and you've got the key.
I've got the secrets and the key.
So we should listen to the song.
Let's see. Turn it away, baby. Here we go, talking about relationships, highs and lows. Shannon's got a podcast full of joy and laughter, education and fun is what we're after. Jumping on the mic, sharing stories, oh, X's and O's. We're breaking down the law from heartbreak to happiness. We're diving deep. Shannon's got the secrets. She's got the key.
Yeah, she does.
Shannon's got the secrets. She's got the key. Grab your headphones, let's take a ride. Feel ups and downs. Preparing it all. Oh Oh my God, still 45 seconds left. Okay, we are going to bear it all today. And I will put more of the song at the end of this.
Shanna's got the secrets.
Is there like copyright issues with AI songs?
Who owns it? Let's find out.
Yeah, we own it now. Okay, hi guys, my name's Shannon Beveridge. Welcome back to X's and O's, a podcast where we talk about queer relationships and sex. And today we have G Flip, which I feel like you don't even need an introduction. You are like a queer icon. I'm so glad you're here today.
Oh, that's a bit nice.
It's the truth.
There's definitely someone out there who's like, who the fuck is that?
Okay, well, G, you may know G Flip. They're a musician. They play drums and sing, which is so unique. I feel like there's not many artists who are doing that.
Yeah, I like to play drums and I like to sing at the same time.
How do you breathe?
How do I breathe? You know what? When I'm drumming, my body's on autopilot and all I'm thinking about is what the fuck the lyrics are.
Really?
I'm not a trained singer, so I'm always thinking about the singing part and my body's just on.
It's like muscle memory almost, yeah. Probably the drumming part.
Yeah.
But how, like, are you just so fit? I mean, you are fit, obviously, but...
I feel like on tour, I get pretty fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, those are good arms.
Oh, thanks, Shannon.
You're welcome. Like, 2 seconds and I'm like, I promise I'm not hitting on you. Sorry, Kirtel. No, but I wish I could do anything, like, active like that. That's, like, also fun.
Yeah. Drums is definitely fun. I think from a young age, I was, like, so drawn to the drums because, like... the physicality of it and like huge sounds, and I was a pretty chaotic child, so I was like, I want to do that, so.
Yeah. Do you have like ADHD or anything like that?
I have ADHD. I'm diagnosed, and yeah, I'm a bit of a hectic person, I'd Fair. say, but yeah. I keep busy doing lots of things and I have lots of ideas.
That's good.
Yeah.
I feel like ADHD could be like a superpower for people.
Oh, I 100% think it's my superpower. Yeah. And it's why I'm in the position I am doing what I love to do.
Totally. I have it too.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm diagnosed with it too. I know. Look at us. And I also was like one of those girls who got diagnosed really late in life. Like I was like almost done with college by the time they told me. But the psychiatrist who like diagnosed me, he was like, you have the ability to hyper focus. And he was like, it's almost like you have like, you're like Mario with a star and you can like really get into something. So he's like, you've been able to do well in school and everything because you just can do that for like a second or like whatever it takes. And then, but then most of the time, my brain is literally like what the fuck is going on?
I'm the exact same, the hyper-focus thing.
It's crazy. When you hit that, it's like that movie Limitless. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
With Bradley Cooper, yeah. And he's taking those pills. That's how I feel when I get into that. But the worst is when you can't tap into it. Like when you need to focus and your brain, you can't get your brain to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Kind of, I think so. I feel like all the things that I want to hyper-focus on, I've already hyper-focused and I've already learned so far so much. But true. I like have... little things that I get obsessed with like every month.
Really?
So it changes.
Like little like micro hobbies and like.
Yeah.
What's it now?
When I think the funniest one is when I was a kid, I was obsessed with appliances and like toasters and kettles.
No.
And I knew every brand and their price range. And I used to get my dad to take me to the Good Guys, which is like is it Best Buy here?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so I could just go look at all those appliances.
That's it. You should have been on like The Price is Right. Do you know that show?
Yeah, I watched that show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would have been amazing.
Yeah, I know a Breville toaster, what price that costs.
Are you still into them? Or
No. That was just my, like, I always have these niche obsessions and that's, I think, the funniest one because do you know like junk mail? We call it junk. Yeah, junk, like the mail that comes in. Yeah. I couldn't wait till the postman came and
so you could read it.
Dive in and see how much the toasters were going for that week.
Like, what's on sale? Did you ever buy anything?
No, I was like fucking 9 years old, but I just loved it. I loved the shapes of them and the colors and like the functions. And then when some got like buttons and temperature gauges. Oh God, there's so much.
I'm obsessed. Also, it makes sense too that you would be so good at so many things if you're able to like hyper focus on something that intensely.
Yeah.
And now you're like so multifaceted. I feel like what you said, you've been on 9 planes in 13 days.
Yeah, nine flights in 13 days. And I'm not on tour, which is, I kind of just feel like I'm always on tour, to be honest, because like tour, you're changing scenery every day. And then I feel like even when I'm not on tour, I'm kind of changing scenery every day. But part of it's like, because I am a little bit hectic. Yeah. I don't like being in the same spot for too long, because then I've looked at every corner of the house and I know what's going on.
Yeah, no, I feel that too. I love change. I love
change is fun.
Like routine, I feel like I wish I had one, but then anytime I'm around for like 2 weeks, I realize I still don't even have a routine. Like nothing gets set. I've just become more and more random in my own space. I'm like, I should just leave. And then I'll just get on a flight and go to New York and do something else for a second.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that's ADHD too.
Yeah, it's a little cute thing called ADHD.
Starting strong with mental health. We've got the secrets. We've got the key.
We've got the key. You do.
Yeah. Sorry, I've got the key.
You've got the key.
That must be tough for your relationship though, right? To be long distance. I mean, are you like, if you're bouncing around all the time, how's that?
Yeah, so me and Chriselle have a 2 week rule. Mm-hmm. So we never go longer than 2 weeks apart. But I think other than that, we're so good. We do like 2 FaceTimes a day, text throughout the day what we're doing.
Nice.
So it ends up kind of working for us. And, you know, when she's got like her filming schedules on, she's like
busy
in
all the time.
Thick of filming. Yeah. So it's like waking up, doing hair and makeup for an hour and a bit, and then going shooting and filming and stuff. So her schedule gets pretty hectic as well. So then
I can only imagine. Did you ever think you'd be on a reality TV show?
Absolutely not. No.
Do you get your hair and makeup done when you get to be on the show?
No. I just rock up. And now I've looked back on some of those scenes and I'm like, I really should have thought about.
Can I get a touch up?
Yeah, I should have just thought about what I was wearing or like done some makeup. I think on the recent scene I've done, which isn't out yet, I got my makeups done.
That's nice. Do you like doing your makeup?
No, I put mascaras on.
Yeah.
I like the feeling of mascara. It's a fun little brush of the eyelashes. It's quite a nice feeling for me. But no, I kind of like just rock up as is. Like I literally just got out of bed and then like was like, oh, what should I wear? Oh, my clothes are all dirty in my suitcase. Oh, there's some overalls. Oh, let's go.
Okay, but you look so cool.
Oh, well, I've just whacked my dirty hair up in a bun and
it looks great.
Thanks.
It's a vibe.
You look pretty cool too.
Well, I had more time and I live here and I have all my stuff here. But okay, can we talk about, how do you feel about JoJo Siwa wanting to dress like you?
I think, you know, it's flattering.
Yeah.
And I also think like part of like finding yourself in your like sexuality and your gender identity, like when you're growing up, comes with like playing with your clothes and what you're going to wear. So I can't imagine being, you know, a teenager and, you know, for your work being made to wear a bow and a dress and all that and not being able to like express yourself through your clothing.
I totally agree.
So I'm like, hells yeah, JoJo. Wear whatever the hell you want.
No, totally.
And also like a big part of like my project just in general is when I was younger, I didn't have anyone to look up to that dressed like me or played drums that had like long hair or was a female or non-binary. So a big part of my project is being like the representation I never had. So you know, I think that just plays into it. If JoJo wants to dress like me and whack some tattoos, like go JoJo, do your thing, you know.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
I've been hit up so much online about that. Everyone's been asking me.
I would be awesome too, like the name drop of you in that podcast. Because you said it on Call Her Daddy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also sick. I feel the same way. Like the representation thing, obviously. My project, even though it's not as cool as yours, but I feel like I've been doing the same thing. And the last guest I had on the podcast also said she used to try to dress like me when she was like 16.
Really?
Yeah. So I've had a similar experience. But the funny thing is, I wish she didn't, because I look back on what I was wearing back then and I'm like, did I like what I was wearing?
You've always dressed cool, Shannon.
Oh my God, that's kind, but I don't know. I feel like I had that classic, I have to look gay, and I didn't know what gay looked like, so mm-hmm. I was like, a beanie, you know? Beanie. That'll work, right?
A beanie.
I didn't know what I was doing, but that we didn't really have, because you're 30.
Yeah.
And I'm 32. I feel like we didn't have that much to look up to in general.
Yeah.
With
no.
queer representation.
I agree. There wasn't much.
And now there's like a shit ton.
Hells yeah.
Which is amazing. There's like a million of us walking around.
I know. All the gays are out to play, and it's great.
I love the way that you say non-binary.
Non-binary.
Your accent on binary is so...
Non-binary. Wait, no.
Binary. Binary. It's so, I mean, I
non-binary.
Can't... There's like almost the syllable gone.
Well, I think that's very Aussie.
Definitely.
Like, Aussie's just like... We just say shit and it's kind of all just rolls together.
Yeah, it sounds good though.
There's not much pronunciation.
No.
Pronunciation.
American is so much pronunciation.
Yeah,
I like. It's like every single syllable we're saying it.
I love it.
When did you come out as non-binary? Or like when did you ask people to change your pronouns?
What year is it? God, like 4 or 5 years?
It's
2024. 2024. Like 4 years ago?
Cool.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Was it something you thought about a lot before you, like, implemented?
I think it's more conversations were being had on what non-binary is.
Yeah.
And then I educated myself. And I remember going online and finding, what was it called? The, not the non-binary dinosaur. It was called the, like, gender... We'll have to find what it is. It's called
look it up.
The gender unicorn or something.
Is it like a YouTube thing?
No, it's like just like this little like picture of like a gender unicorn, and then it had these like gauges of like, you know, male, female, like sexuality, all this stuff. And I remember like reading about, you know, gender identity and being non-binary and just educating myself on it. It's called the gender unicorn. That's what it is. The gender unicorn. And then educating myself and then looking back at my whole life. And it just resonated with me so much. Like I remember growing up and just staring at myself in the mirror and being like, you're like a boy, but you're a girl, but you're kind of in between. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I'm in between both of these genders. And I always thought that from a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think, so I grew up in like a Catholic school and a Catholic girls school. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking in the mirror and think, I reckon when God made me, there was not enough girl. So he put a little bit of boy in there. And I'm half boy and half girl. And as a 6, 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, yeah. 10-year-old, that's what I thought.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like. I definitely resonate with some of that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I don't know how far into it. You know what I mean? Like I definitely yeah. had those same kind of like look in the mirror vibes where I'm like, why am I different than my friends? And why yeah. do dresses look weird on me?
Yeah.
Like something is off here.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be right. But then I was like, but also I just want to wear shorts yeah. and like basketball shorts and like a t-shirt all the time.
100%.
And then I'll feel more comfortable. Did you ever have to wear like a uniform in your Catholic school?
Yeah, I had to wear a tunic, it was called, or a dress.
Mm-hmm.
But drums came in handy for me because I was such a drummer at high school, always playing drums. And I'd purposely play drums at like assemblies all the time so that every teacher in the school would remember me as the drum kid. So when they would ask me like, Flippo, why aren't you wearing your uniform? I'd say, well, I've got my drum lesson today and you don't want me playing drums with a dress with my legs spread open, do you? And then they'd be like, oh, no, that's fine. You can wear your sports uniform. So
that's genius.
I just made myself known as such the drum kid that when any day any teacher would ask me, why aren't you wearing the uniform? I'd say, I've got drums on, even though I did not have drums that day.
That's so smart, though.
Yeah, drums helped me out in so many.
It's still helping you out.
Yeah, it helped me out in so many ways.
Did your parents get you into drumming or did you ask, like, specifically?
My cousin had a drum kit and I was kind of a little bit intrigued and obsessed with it, and he'd, like, play at family gatherings. And then my auntie and uncle bought me my first drum kit at 9 years old, and it was the best day of my life.
I'll cry.
As a kid, and they unveiled it to me. It was in the lounge room with the doors closed, and no one was going in the lounge room that day. And then they unveiled it to me, and I was so emotional. It felt like the start of my life.
It was crazy. It was the key. It was the secret and the key to your whole life. That's amazing. It really did change the whole trajectory of your life, though, too.
Yeah, it pivoted my whole being. And then that became my obsession and my hyper-focus for, like, the soul hyper... Although I had many other hyper-focuses.
side hyper-focuses.
Yeah, I had, the kettles.
Let's not forget.
But, yeah, that became my main obsession. And then, like... my whole life then revolved around drums, and I had an amazing drum teacher. Then I went to uni and studied music, and I majored in drums. I worked at a drum shop. I became a drum teacher. I played drums in wedding bands.
That's crazy. Was
so obsessed with drums. And before I went solo, I thought I was just going to be a session drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing that, and then I realized I want to be my own boss. I don't want to have to work for the man my whole life. And I was already writing songs in my mm-hmm. bedroom, little queer songs on guitar and piano as like a 14-year-old. And my songwriting chops just got better behind closed doors until the point where I was like, I'm ready to go solo now and my own singing drama project.
How did you learn to sing? Were you singing?
I've never had a lesson.
What, really?
I've never had a singing lesson, which is not a good thing. I don't say that like, hell zero, I haven't had a singing lesson. Like, I'm probably doing damage and it's really bad. And I need to find time to get lessons to make sure that I'm doing this properly, because it's my job.
Yeah. Because you lost your voice. That's why you didn't come on.
I know.
Is that because you got sick or is it because of the singing?
I just got sick.
Okay.
So that wasn't from... singing, but I just got sick. But no, I've never had singing lessons, but I have just sung my whole life. I remember from like a really young age, like as a little bebe, like I just sing to myself all the time, make up my own songs all the time.
That's so cute. I can't sing at all, so.
Well, you've got AI now.
I know. I don't need to be able to sing. I have AI.
You've got AI, and then you can just release music
as that. I'm gonna put this on iTunes, honestly. Imagine. Okay, so back to the non-binary thing too, the gender
mm-hmm.
unicorn.
Gender unicorn.
So you're like looking into that, and then how long did it take after looking into that for you to like ask or tell people that you were feeling that way?
Not too long. I remember then who was it? Demi Lovato and Sam Smith came out non-binary, and a lot of my friends were like talking about it and asking questions, and I was using myself as an example.
Mm.
I was like, I get it because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I kind of feel this way. And then I realized, wow, I'm really using myself as an example. I'm so non-binary. And then, like, it just makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel weird referring to myself as she, her, or female, because I do feel so in between.
Yeah.
Does
it feel weird also he, him, and male?
I'm not like, a he.
Yeah. Neither one makes sense.
No, I feel so non-binary. And then when people, you know, I get trolls and people sending me hectic crap in my DMs all the time. But it's like, that's how I am. That's how I feel. I can't change my brain. Like, that's just, I just feel so in between the genders.
And makes so much sense.
This gender unicorn, it made you like slide, mm-hmm. like, where you feel. And then I was always like, ah, oh, in the middle. And then it's like, oh, non-binary. Oh yeah, that's me.
So crazy. I need to look at it, maybe.
Yeah, the gender, look, wait, I'll show you. It's really cute. If you just search gender unicorn.
I feel like
this little guy.
It's so
cute. See gender
cute.
Identity?
Mm-hmm.
And then you like put on the scale, gender expression, sex assigned at birth. And I was just like,
it's so sweet. This is a great resource. I'm going to link this below.
So I was just gender unicorning away. And then I was like, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is all making sense.
It helped me understand myself more. And since coming out non-binary, like, so euphoric. Like, I just, like, I've always been pretty sure of myself since a young age, like, pretty confident in who I am. But once coming out non-binary, it was like, oh, the full 100%.
Yeah, it's like all the way. I saw someone make a TikTok recently about how, like, coming out as a lesbian is one thing, and then cutting your hair short and, like, being a mask lesbian, it's like, oh, taking it even further, because then you're like, now I'm like, look exactly how I feel as yeah. well. And it's like, you can't really hide it after yeah. that. You know what I mean? If you're like, I don't know. I resonated with that too. I was like, fuck yeah. When I cut my hair short, I'm like, yeah, we've gone all the way now. Like, now
shit,
I'm getting...
I got long as fuck hair.
Would you ever cut it though?
Do you know what? I've like never cut my hair. I got my hair cut once in year 8 and I said, please trim the edges. And then she cut like this much off. And then I said to her, I'm never getting my hair cut again. And then I never got my hair cut
again. Nah. Okay, also long hair and playing the drums is kind of like a vibe and necessary.
Yeah.
Some like hair choreography there.
Yeah, well, that's why normally I wear hats and bandanas and glasses so much, because I keep it from getting in my face, because if I'm singing and playing drums, I don't have a spare hand to go like that.
True.
So normally when I play shows, I would kind of like to have my hair out, mm-hmm. but if I'm singing and drumming, I can't move it, so yeah. I always have to keep it contained.
That's fair. I can't even imagine doing that, singing and playing the drums at the same time.
We should
try it.
We should give it a little yeah. go.
Can I come to your studio?
Come to the studio and you can play along to your new single.
Fuck yes.
She's got the key.
I need to. Well, I also, it is true, like, I feel like 4 or 5 years ago, like when Sam Smith and Demi Lovato came out as non-binary, mm-hmm. I feel like that was the introduction to a lot of the world on yeah. just even what non-binary is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean... now what you've done on the show is awesome mm. too, because you opened that up to a whole other demographic of people.
Oh yeah.
Is that scary?
It was a little bit, just because the demographic of Selling Sunset is definitely not
pretty heteronormative.
Know, yeah. Right? Heteronormative, audience, kind of middle America vibes.
Midwest.
So yeah, obviously I knew I was going to get heaps of backlash. We knew Chrishell was going to cop it, just her being with me mm-hmm. in general. But then again, you know, me and Chrishell had that conversation where it's like, well, we really have the power to, it sounds like a bit hectic, but like change the world. Like this is like going to change people's lives, just the representation, because representation is everything.
Totally.
So we were like, wow, this is, you know, a number one TV show. So we want to be authentic and show like a positive queer relationship, and maybe it might educate some people on what being non-binary is, or, you know, all of that. So that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound hectic at all. It's so true. You definitely are changing like the world and changing lives. Like, I can't even imagine how many young people are watching y'all's relationship and just identifying as queer, but then like the non-binary thing too is just crazy, because there's really so little conversation around it.
Yeah.
And there's 100%. So much conversation around trans identity in general right now, in such a negative way, especially in America with all the bills that are getting passed.
For sure.
But I do feel like the non-binary conversation is a little bit like under the radar and less understood than, you know, like people just, everyone thinks so cis in their head and like 100%. So binary in their head. So yeah, it's just like a conversation. I feel like probably some people never even heard of non-binary people before you popped up on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon, and I hope it started some conversations with people or amongst friends about what it is. And in the end, like, if I can help do that, then I'm going to help do that no matter how much hectic DMs that I cop. So
yeah, the backlash. But also your life is good, I would assume. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, backlash doesn't actually affect me.
Yeah, I would.
It amuses
ask.
Me.
Yeah.
Some of the messages are fucking real funny.
Crazy.
But yeah, I've got a pretty thick skin when it comes to that stuff, because again, I can't change that. I can't change the way I feel like I'm non-binary. Like, it's not a, oh, okay, I'll turn it off.
Yeah, totally. And also, you have so much positive feedback, I'm sure, as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it's easy to tune out the trolls.
Mm.
I find it easy. Yeah. I don't know if you find it easy.
No, I find it easy.
Especially, it's, like, you've been, how long have you been doing music now?
Like, as J-Flip?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so bad at this, at remembering years.
Yeah. But years and years and years and
yeah,
years.
Like 6 years, yeah. Maybe.
So you've been getting feedback for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Positive and negative.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the longer you do it, the negative becomes smaller and smaller. Like, not necessarily in number, but how it affects you.
Yeah. I've never been someone that, like, gives a shit what people think. That's anyway, good. Just growing up, I just... And I'm not someone that reads comments or,
yeah,
like, goes into what people think about me anyway. Like, reads Reddit threads and shit. Like,
yeah. You can't take it personally.
Yeah.
Although, if you're having a bad day and you read a bad comment on accident, it can send me into, like, a little bit of a spiral. Where, especially if someone says exactly the thing I'm stressed about, I'm like, fuck. They saw it. Bothers me. But... For the most part,
well,
I don't
care. If you get bothered, just send me a text. I'll send you an AI song.
Next time I will. But no, obviously, for the most part, so much positive feedback. What about for Chrishell? Has it been hard for, like, to go from being in a public relationship on that show
mm-hmm.
in a heteronormative way, mm-hmm. then, like, the next season with you?
Yeah.
Is that crazy? Is that hard? Is her skin as thick as yours?
I think you'd need to ask her that, because I can't speak on behalf of her. But of course. I think she took it like a champ. And, you know, she was so eloquent in speaking on behalf of, you know, a queer relationship for someone who just...
Like... Her first one
yeah. ever. And she spoke so beautifully about, you know, my gender identity on a public format, which I never asked her to do. She just did that.
Yeah.
So... She's a little cheeky angel.
Well, she's clearly very in love with you also.
Yeah, she's so cute.
And you're obviously very in love with her.
Yeah, she's so cute. This morning I was like, I got up and I was like making myself a coffee. And she yells out, baby. And I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong? And I come in, she's like, I had a dream you had bangs. And I just wanted to make sure you didn't get bangs. And I was like, baby, I didn't get bangs. She's so funny.
I'm dead. Like, most people have dreams about cheating, and she's like, did you get bangs? Yeah. Please don't get bangs. So your relationship is great. That's good.
We're good. I just got home. So I flew in last night from Australia, so I can't wait to
actually hang out.
Go home. But I know when I get home, she's going to make me do Pilates.
Oh, God.
And I'm down to do it, but I'm just, like, a bit tired from, like, just flying in. I might do it for her because... She loves it when I work out with her.
That's so sweet.
Because we can goof around a bit.
Do you do Pilates at home or do you go to a place?
No, we do it at home.
Nice. Do you do it on, like, a mat?
Yeah, we got... Oh, no, there's a Pilates reformer.
You have reformer machines?
Yeah, which is new to me.
Yeah.
It's a fun contraption.
I do Pilates on a reformer machine also. It makes it more fun.
It is a bit more fun.
Yeah, I can't just be doing anything on a mat.
Nah. Yeah, the reformer is a bit of a fun vibe. It's so springy.
I'm just gonna picture you guys doing reformer Pilates together at home, and it's a really cute image, honestly.
Yeah, it's pretty cute, and we support each other heaps. We're like, girl, you can get it. We're always like, come on, baby, let's go. Like, it's pretty cute.
Your relationship is so cute. You like fixing her dress on that red carpet, the tail.
Oh yeah,
it's like the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it was a boss ass dress, and it photographed really well if it looked pretty on the floor.
Mm-hmm. So had to fix it,
and we were gonna teach someone, and I was like, babe, I'll just do it. I get this dress, I understand it. I'm good at making this look nice for you. So I got down. I didn't know that they were going to take so many photos of me crouched down on the floor. It was meant to be I fix it, then they jump out.
Yeah.
And then, but that dress was fire.
Yeah, so fire. But that in that moment it was so sweet. I feel like you came off as such an amazing partner in that too. Just like,
Well, dumb. Anyone that's a nice person would do that for their partner.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, would I anyone though?
Well, someone who's a decent guy, bloke, person.
True.
You know?
True.
Well, if your partner has a real swanky, awesome dress, then you got to make it look nice for them.
Yeah.
She couldn't bend down and do
she
it.
She could not, of course.
It was made out of like latex or some like hectic rubber.
Well, you looked amazing as well.
Oh, I just put on a baggy outfit that was comfy for the day.
You look cool.
I'd need to like try dress better, I reckon. I'm pretty lax with it all.
How do you get like, do you have a stylist when you do red carpets and
sometimes
stuff?
And sometimes not.
Yeah.
I actually found it really, really hard to find a stylist that can dress me the way that I want to feel confident in.
Yeah, I feel that.
I've had some nightmare experiences.
I
once had a stylist for a music video who dressed me like Christina Aguilera in Dirty.
I knew you were gonna say that. I'm like, it has to be Dirty. There's no other choice.
And because I was like, obviously I saw the outfit, I was like, absolutely not. But in my head I was like, I should try this on for fun.
Are there pictures of this?
Yeah, I sent my friends all photos and they were just like, what the fuck. This was years and years ago, but yeah, I feel like I've really struggled to find a stylist that
gets it,
because I like dressing more mask, but I'm a little human.
Yeah, so, yeah, true.
Like, it's hard to find teenage boy clothes
mm-hmm.
the size of like a teenage boy kind of figure.
Totally.
Anyway.
No, I have the same problem. Also, yeah, there's just like, I feel like so many stylists are such hot, cute girls that are dressing other hot, cute girls.
Yeah.
And then you walk in and you're like, what would you do with this? And yeah. They're like, And yeah. Then they immediately go to like a suit.
Yeah, a suit. That's like, a classic.
It's There's just, here's a suit for you.
Here's a heap of baggy suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they don't look right. I have a similar, I mean, I'm small, but then I also have like really broad shoulders. So I'm like, I want my frame to look nice and yeah. I don't want to look too masculine, but I don't want to look too girly. And it's like,
yeah.
To find the balance is tough. It's hard for me to figure it out. And I've been dressing myself for 32 years. So to yeah. walk into a stylist and be like, can you figure this out?
Yeah.
I guess they can't sometimes.
It's a rough situation.
It's tough.
But if you find one, let me know. And if I find one, I'll let you
yeah.
know.
If any stylist is watching this thinking, I know exactly what to put y'all in.
Yeah. If
you write in the comments.
Some fly fits for us. That'd be really helpful.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it.
We'll rock them on any red carpet.
Well, I feel like, too, I've gotten like my day-to-day outfits figured out. Like mm-hmm. I know how to dress myself just like day in and day out, but mm-hmm. it's like the fancy events and also like the mid-tier fancy, like business casual.
Oh yeah.
What yeah. is that?
Yeah, if me and Chriselle go on a date to a nice restaurant, I'm in a panic.
Yeah, me too.
Like, fuck. Because I don't want to look like just, like Chriselle always looks 20
amazing.
Out of 10, like flawless, gorgeous, like holy shit, turns every head in the room. And then there's me coming in like, how you going, mate? Like, fuck. Like,
that's literally how I feel yeah. with every girl I've dated too. I'm like, yeah. I know what you're gonna wear on this date, obviously. Something so cute, probably maybe a dress, something like adorable. I'm like, what the fuck do I wear to yeah. match the level? And also I never want to feel like I'm not trying hard enough, because
yes.
when you're dating like a girl who's super femme and they try really hard, I'm like, I appreciate it so much. I'm like, that is so nice of you. You took the yeah. time, you did your makeup, you did your hair, you picked out this outfit, you look amazing. And I'm like, I want you to know that I care about the way I look too. And yeah. I want to show up for you in the same way, but it's harder because what is the outfit exactly?
I'm with you yeah. all the way.
I and the hair and makeup agree. Too. It's like, how, I'm not going to put more makeup on. Like, yeah. I'm not going to do eyeshadow tonight.
I find the hair real hard because my hair's long and it's hectic, and that's sometimes why I just resort to hats, because it's like, if you put a hat on, you don't need to think about it
I
that
know.
Much. And if I wear sunglasses,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about it so much.
So smart. I mean, yeah, I feel like there's little tricks that we all have to like develop yeah. as less feminine people. I'm
yeah.
like, what can I wear? Okay, I'm thinking back about what you said. It is crazy, like, how good of a job Chrishell did on the show, speaking about her relationship and speaking about you and your pronouns, because it's one thing to be in your first just like gay relationship, and another thing when there's like a gender component that's new to you completely as well. Mm-hmm. And she did such a good job of doing that. Like, yeah. I think it would be hard just to be coming out as like a lesbian on the show, or like coming out as like being in a lesbian relationship. Wait, and do you identify as a lesbian?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I kind of, yeah. People ask me this and I'm like, yeah, I'm non-binary, I'm a lesbian. I think I love the word lesbian. It's
me too.
So great.
Me
I'm
too.
I'm like, hell's yeah.
And I had such an aversion to it for so long that now I'm like, I'm a lesbian, I need to take it back.
Yeah.
For especially these like younger people, because lesbian was such a bad word, I feel, when I was little.
Was it? Oh yeah, growing up.
Yeah.
Like
it was only
gay
an insult. Yeah. Being gay, well, everyone's like, oh, that's so gay. But gay felt like less like gross, you know? If someone was saying, oh, that's so gay that you did it, it would be like more like, that's embarrassing, or like you're sensitive, or it's stupid.
Yeah.
Lesbian felt like visceral, like it's like,
yeah,
you're gross, you're like lesbian, undesirable, you're a boy, like it just felt so much worse to me than gay. And I think that's why when I first came out, gay was such an easier word to use. Like I'd be like, I'm gay, that feels good. Now I'm also, I'll say queer a lot.
I say all of them.
Yeah,
I say I'm gay, I'm queer, I'm a big lesbian. I like saying big lesbian.
Big, specifically.
Specifically big
the
lesbian.
The size is important.
So but yeah, I just use all of them. I don't really have a favorite. I don't have one that I
You're not partial
like,
to one.
No, I just use all of them.
Yeah.
I'm gay as fuck. I'm a big lesbian.
I'm only going to say big lesbian now.
Yeah.
I'm a big lesbian.
Now and then I'll get a DM from a guy hitting on me. So random. And my message back to them is like, oh, I'm so sorry, Kev, mate. I'm a big lesbian.
Why would it be someone named Kevin?
Kevin or like Ryan
or
something.
Sounds right.
And it's like, what is going on here?
Literally.
Like my last post is me like giving my wife a kiss on the cheek. Like,
yeah.
I'm a big lesbian. I've got a song called Gay for Me. Just look at me.
Also emphasis on wife.
Yeah.
In general, I'm not even available to you.
Yeah.
At all.
It is funny. I do. It is enjoyable when I get those messages because it doesn't happen very often.
I can imagine. I was in line the other day at a bathroom at a bar, and I was with this girl I'm dating in front of this person, and then she walked away, and she's like very feminine, and I'm me, and I probably looked similar to this, and he looked at me dead in my eyes, and he goes, "You don't look like a lesbian," and I was like, "Really?" I'm like, do you mean like her? Like, did you mean the girl that just walked away? Or are you talking about me? He's like, no, you. Like, you don't look like a lesbian. I'm like, I think I look like the lesbian. Like, I am giving lesbian through and through. What are you talking about? And he was like, you're not bi? I was like, are you fucking high? Like, what is happening? And then I just went in the bathroom and ran away from him. But I'm like,
that's hectic.
It's crazy. I'm like, what do you mean? In what world? What do you think a lesbian looks like? I mean, obviously, lesbians can look like anything.
Lesbians can look like absolutely anything.
Anything these days. It's amazing.
Yeah. What an interesting bloke.
That is so interesting. And I was like, what is the point of this? Like, are you hitting on me?
Yeah.
Because it didn't go anywhere from there. It was just like, end.
You should have asked him, are you bi?
Yeah. Honestly, probably. If you're attracted, sometimes I feel like if you're a guy and you're attracted to me, there's something a little queer about you.
I've actually had quite a few, like, gay men be like, and they've said it to my face. They're like, I'm obviously so gay, but I'm attracted to you.
Yeah.
And
I've had that too.
Yeah.
And you're
thank you.
Thanks,
mate.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Well, I guess you've had the same on the opposite spectrum too, because Chrishell identified as straight and then you guys met and then she was like, wait.
And it was all over.
wait. I'm into you. I'm confused. How did y'all meet?
We met in passing at an event in 20. Oh God, the
years.
So yeah, I can't remember.
It doesn't matter.
I think it was the end of 2021, or it was like Halloween 2021. We met at like an event, and then months and months later, in the next year, 2022, I went to a house party of hers. She actually held the house party for me.
Really?
Yeah.
How were you even talking enough just from meeting and passing to her throwing parties for you?
So we were talking online and I was like, because I just moved to the States and I knew very few people. And we were messaging and I was like, I don't have many friends in the States. And she was like, oh, why don't, you know, I'll get some of my friends together. We'll go out for drinks. And then she messaged me like, oh, I'll just have a party and then you can meet people. So then she had a house party.
That's so kind.
So kind. Obviously,
would she do that for anyone, or what? Do you think she a little bit had a crush on you?
I think she would do it for anyone.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering.
She's
a nice girl.
A little angel.
Yeah.
So she wasn't. She thought I was hot, but she wasn't thinking of me
like
totally in that way.
Yeah.
But she'd seen me play a show, and she was attracted to me.
Nice.
Nice. And then I went to this house party and she got stood up, so thanks to the bro that stood up Cashelle that night.
Fuck yeah.
And then so she was just like being a cutie girl around the party, and then I was flirting with her a little bit, and then we just get along, you know, when you just have the back and forth with people, like totally. The vibes just work. So we were just like flirting and joking, and then we started making out in her pantry.
I'm dead. It's like in a closet almost.
It totally was, because like obviously we weren't, well, she at that time didn't want to be making out with me in the middle of her party in her house.
Yeah.
So I went to give her a little cheeky kiss, and we were right near the pantry, and then she just kind of pulled me in there, and then we were making out amongst the protein bars.
That's scandalous. That's so scandalous.
I know, it was very scandalous. And then I went on tour, and then I had a show she came to, and then we had another little cheeky kiss after that. And then I went back on tour, and then I messaged her being like, hey, want to go on a date? And she said, I'm sorry, G, I'm straight.
Like, you weren't very straight in the pantry. Like, what happened in the pantry?
Yeah, that pantry wasn't very straight, darling. No, and then she texted me that, and I said, oh, okay, no worries. But in my head, I was like,
she's confused.
We've done a lot of gay things. done some gay things. And then I was still on tour, and then I was asking her some questions about real estate because I was looking to rent a place here, and she's got all the knowledge about that. So I sent her some houses I was looking at to rent, and then she said, why don't I come with you to look at the houses?
Please.
And then some more flirting went down, and then I was like, do you want to get a drink after? And then we got a drink after, and then Chriselle said, let's drop the car home and go to the Abbey.
No. She's doing the gayest shit ever. Everything she's doing is really gay. This is very gay.
And I said, oh, okay, sweet. Yeah, let's drop the car home and go to the Abbey. Then we were making out at the Abbey. We were actually making out all over West Hollywood for like a while before anyone caught us.
I saw you at the Abbey.
Was it before?
I don't know when. I think it was before you guys were out.
We were all over West Hollywood making out.
Yeah.
There was some, like, we saw some when it was, like, rumored that we were
talking,
hooking up or whatever. There were some comments from really nice people being like, I saw them making out at the Abbey. I let them have their privacy. And we were like, hell's yeah.
So funny. That's the gayest place to make out.
I know. We'd be there. We were all over West Hollywood for a while. And I think it's like the queers gave us our...
Yeah.
Space.
We'll respect you. I love when the queers respect privacy. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah. But what do you consider your first date then?
I reckon that.
The day that you went and looked at houses?
I think that, yeah, because Chriselle said that she got ready for that, like, looking at houses like a date. Like, and then that's when she kind of knew, oh, I think I like this person more than...
like a friend.
Yeah.
Did you get ready the same way?
I get ready the same way every day.
I know, I was going to say the same, honestly. But were you nervous at all?
Not
No.
No, I don't know. I don't get nervous.
Do you feel like you were just like, this girl is going to come around, obviously. She likes me and like she just doesn't know it?
Well, I thought that I knew that we liked each other, but we both never thought that we'd end up getting married.
Yeah, I mean.
That was, yeah, we didn't know at the time that we were each other's person.
Yeah, like that you were going to fall madly in love with each other.
Yeah,
did you kind of think it was going to just be like a fun, like flirty kind of vibe?
Thought it was a fun little flirty vibe. Thought that we might, you know, mess around a little bit, but still be really good friends because we just like, just as people, we got along so well.
Yeah.
As like mates, like our banter is so funny and she makes me laugh so much.
And now you're married.
And now we're mazzed.
When did you get married?
We got married.
You better know this year.
Well, no, look, to be honest, everyone's got it wrong. Really? We got married in 2022.
No way.
But everyone thinks we got married last year.
Okay.
We got married in 2022, but we get married once every year.
Hell yeah.
So we've already done 2 weddings.
What was the first wedding?
In Vegas.
Awesome.
With Elvis.
Hell yeah.
So fun. Second was in Palm Springs and Emma Crochelle's best friend wed us in a denim bikini and the photos are fire.
Obviously.
But we don't plan the weddings because planning weddings is stressful. We plan it the day before and then we message our friends and whoever rocks up that day rocks up that day.
That's so cute.
And we wear whatever.
Whose idea was it? Did you guys come up with that together?
Yeah, well, that's just like me and Chriselle. We're like, we don't want to be stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, fair. Like, we don't want to be stressed and it's way more fun being spontaneous.
Yeah.
And not thinking too much about it.
Yeah, it's so romantic.
Yeah.
Do you do vows every time?
Yeah, different vows every year.
That's really cute. I was just literally talking to someone about this the other day. That was like, I feel like vows are the most important part of the wedding. Yeah. And like people should have to write them. I feel like people should have to write not like vows, but like almost like a yearly kind of thing like that. Even just into dating. Just to like remind yourself why you are dating someone and why you should appreciate them.
Yeah. I reckon a cheeky little wedding ceremony every year is really healthy. It's like we celebrate a birthday and we celebrate ourselves every year. You've got like a life partner who is your person you're waking up with every day. You should celebrate something together. Like the relationship should have a little birthday celebration.
Yeah, your love. And with the people that love you and that you love. Because I mean, obviously people do anniversaries, right? But so often an anniversary is a date, you know?
I know. They just go to dinner, have a wine, make some love, and then call it a day. If you have a full wedding, you're like looking into each other's eyes and like promising, you know, to be better for that person every year.
Yeah, that is so nice.
And it's fucking fun.
Yeah,
it's like fun. And it's like, you know, everyone gets a text message and they're like, holy shit, like, where am I? Like, can I make it work? Like, when we were in Vegas, everyone got 4 hours notice. So like people were like,
people obviously couldn't come.
Yeah, a lot of people couldn't come. So, yeah, only like there was like 4-5 people at that wedding. And then this second wedding last year, we had about 10 guests or something.
That's so nice. And I'm sure it'll like rotate too. Also, it's kind of crazy if you think about so often people's maid of honor in their wedding like ends up not really being their best friend 10 years down the line or like 20 years down the line.
Yeah.
So if you're having a wedding each year, like you're guaranteed to have the people who love you there.
And you choose a maid of honor or a gay of honor or a best man every year, it changes.
That's so fun.
And it's so fun asking.
That's so sweet. And also you're making people feel special and important to your relationship too. Which friends are a huge part of your relationship, I find.
Like
your romantic relationship without friend support on both sides can like crumble. Like it's like 100%. Kind of like the foundation of your life, especially as an adult if you're away from your family, because your family's in Australia. I'm assuming friends are family.
Exactly.
So you need them and you need them to be like celebrating your love,
because
then you're like, this relationship is awesome. I'm doing the right thing.
Cheeky wedding every year, and you don't have to spend any money on it. You can go to IHOP, I don't know, just literally just anywhere. Rock up anywhere, bring everyone.
It's kind of taking the concept of, I've recently said, I feel like when I get married, I probably want to do a destination wedding, because then you kind of weed out the people who are not like that invested in your life, you know, because there's like a monetary and like travel and whatever. It's that concept like on crack, because you're like, tomorrow, where are you? Are you coming? Okay, awesome. Do you think you'll ever get married in Australia?
Yeah, we'll do one there for sure.
Yeah.
Because I've got my family, they want to be a part of a wedding. Yeah. And there's never enough notice for them to get their shit together to fly over because the flight's 15 hours.
Yeah, 4-hour text is not going to be enough for an Australian.
Yeah.
Your family, are they in what part of Australia?
They're in Melbourne.
Okay. Do you go back often?
Yeah.
Like for, I know you do for business, but for family also?
Yeah, I always make enough time to see them all. So like this trip I just did, I came for three nights, but like I flew into Melbourne, saw my family for the day, then flew to Sydney to do the job in Sydney, then straight after that job in Sydney, flew back to Melbourne to have one night to see my family again, then flew back to Sydney to do the next job. So I always make sure I fit it in. And my sister just had a bebe, and oh my, look at this bebe.
I was wondering who's, oh my gosh, is it the first bebe?
Yeah, first bebe of the family. Her name's Betty Moon. I'm so obsessed.
That's so cute. She's so cute.
She's coming here in 2 weeks.
Oh my God. Wait, how old is she?
5 months.
Oh my gosh. Will it be her first flight?
Third flight.
Wow.
But big daddy flight, you know.
That's huge. Massive.
But I've bought all the things.
Yeah,
I bought a high chair, a crib.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I bought it playmat. I bought all these play toys. I bought bath toys. I bought this cutest fuck thing that can let her swim in the pool. And she floats in a fucking thing.
Okay, I'm going to cry. You and Griselle like seem like you're made for each other because you both seem very thoughtful. Like to think that far ahead to get all those things.
Yeah, we're pretty. But that became my hyperfocus.
Okay.
Baby.
The baby. Baby.
Oh, I've researched like what is the best strollers. What are the best like strollers that convert into car seats. I've researched like,
you know, everything.
The best breast pumps. What breast pumps like are the favorites. I've done reviews on everything. Reviews on cribs. Like it became a hyper focus once my sister had a baby. I had to know everything. And then learn like, you know, how the baby's brain progresses every month and what they're learning each month. And then like this learning like if the baby gets a rash around here, they're probably teething. And then like just learning heaps of stuff.
Okay. So when are you having your own baby?
We'll have babies one day, me and Chriselle.
Yeah.
Everyone's always asking us, hells yeah, we'll have babies.
Now you have to.
I know. I just saw that thing. While we're waiting, I'll play our favorite song. This is actually the other song that I made because I was late. It's called Sorry I'm Late, Shannon. That's it.
Yeah, that one is a short and sweet one. Also, I was actually relieved that you were late because I was saying I hate when people are on time. It's gotten so bad, LA, that I assume when I say 11, it's not 11.
Yeah.
So then when someone is on time, I'm like, oh my God.
What the fuck do you do if someone's early?
Stress the fuck out.
That would be.
And it's happened. It has happened.
Really?
Yeah, but only by like a few minutes. But no, I was glad that you were a little bit late. Anyway.
Well, it allowed me to make fun little songs for you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you so much.
So fine.
Do you only have one sister?
One sister and five stepbrothers.
Five stepbrothers.
Yeah, and I always wanted a brother for Christmas. I'd ask for every year till I was like way too old, like 15. And then my parents divorced and then got remarried, and now I have five stepbrothers.
That's awesome.
It's fucking great.
I saw in an interview you said that your parents are divorced, but you still do all of your holidays together.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents are divorced, and we're all going on a cruise together in May. My mom, my dad.
New partners?
They've had new partners and also lost them, broke up. So my mom and dad both were remarried. They both got divorced again when I was like in college, and then my dad got remarried again, and then he got divorced again. So I've had seven step siblings.
Oh wow.
And I guess technically I don't have any right now, but I still have a relationship with two of them.
Yeah,
but isn't it crazy to like have that experience with your family? Because people freak out when I talk about it.
People like, yeah, my parents still hang out and they make jokes and it's like fun and they're at everything together with their new partners, and everything's chill. Me and my sister, we're so cheeky though. We always make jokes that they're flirting. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like all the time. Like obviously they are divorced and they're just mates. But like they'll be like in the kitchen like helping each other make salad or something, and we'll be like, oh, are you guys flirting again? And they're like, no. Or they'll like be like bickering over something, and then we'll be like, oh, you guys are always flirting with each other.
I'm dead. Like, yeah, I feel like I do that with my parents too, except for it's more like, should you guys just be together? Because now that they both don't have partners, they've really kind of gone back to leaning on each other almost as partners.
The cruise could be it.
But they would never, like, they shouldn't ever.
Yeah,
but
my parents shouldn't.
But I'll call my dad and he'll be at his house and I'll be like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just working. Your mom's cleaning. I'm like, cleaning what? He's like, the house. I'm like, your house? And he's like, yeah, she just came over. She's cleaning up. My mom is like OCD, so she's always cleaning something. But they're always together. Or I'll call my mom and I'll be like, what are you up to? And she's like, oh, I'm at dinner. I'm like, oh, with who? She's like, your father. I'm like, you guys.
That's cute.
No, it's adorable.
Or are they just besties?
They're besties. And my dad had a heart attack in 2022, I think. And my mom was the first person he called. Like, while he was having the heart attack, he called my mom. So they definitely have, I feel like it's like, to me, they're just family. You know, to each other, they're family.
Yeah.
Because they have me and Casey, and I just have one sister too. Mm.
So older or younger?
Older.
Yeah.
Is yours older?
Mine's older.
How much?
18 months older.
Oh my gosh. You're almost like Irish twins.
Yeah. Mom and dad got at it.
Quick. Quick, and then they stopped.
Yeah. Then they stopped.
My sister's 5 years older, so we have a pretty big age gap.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm. She's like much wiser than me, I feel. But she's trying to have a baby.
Oh, God. When you become like, I'm an unki. That's my like word.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, what are you calling it?
A-U-N-K-I-E. Unki Jiggy. We call me Jiggy. So Jiggy's home.
Okay, that's really cute.
Yeah, it's fucking cute. So I'm Unki Jiggy. And when you become like an auntie unki, whatever, like your mind is going to blow up.
Yeah.
Because it is the most cute thing. And when they get smiling, oh God, it's fucked.
You need a baby, I feel.
Oh God. But I love children. Like I was a music teacher. And I would be a music teacher if I wasn't
doing what you're doing.
Doing this. Just because I love teaching kids things.
That's so
and
sweet.
Kids like me. Dogs and kids like me a lot.
That makes sense. But you have like a childlike energy to you.
Yeah.
So
I am very childlike.
You're like one of them.
Yeah. We get each other. We'll be like sitting at dinner and then like a little kid will just come up to me and just be like for no reason. And I'll be like, hey, buddy. And like dogs as well really like me.
That's a good sign about who you are and your soul, I feel.
Chriselle's dog Gracie like chose me straight up.
No way.
Was like and yeah, just liked me straight up, which is nice.
Do you have pets?
No, I don't.
So you just have the one?
Yeah, we have Gracie, who's an old girl. She's about 14 and she's just so cute. She's got a little tiny body.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a little like terrier mix.
Okay.
A rescue dog. But her body, she's like a little loaf of bread. Like it's like this round sack of potatoes. It's great.
I need to meet this dog.
Yeah, she's so cute.
I can't believe you live in LA and like we don't see each other more often. Like,
yeah,
run into each other more often.
Because we at the Abbey, we ran into each other.
The Abbey. I ran into you at 41 too.
Yeah, 4100, classic place.
Yeah, he's not going there.
I feel like I'm just not here enough, but I want to start being. But I'm about to go on tour, but. Just recently had so much work in Australia, so it's a lot of like going there, and now in a few days I'm going to London, so I'm just a little bit all over the place, but I want to be here more.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be nice. Obviously you're good at balancing your relationship with Chriselle, but is it hard to balance friendships when you're bouncing around so much?
Yeah, I think it's hard to balance just life.
Yeah,
like I'm always working. I fit in my family and my friends in Chriselle, but like definitely friendships, it's like a lot of, you know, Snapchat. I've had the same friends since I was like 8, so I'm in the same friendship group my whole life.
That's nice.
So
are they all in Australia?
Yeah, so they're all there, and I'm, you know, always in the chat groups with them. And then, like, when I just went into Melbourne for a quick hot minute, like yesterday, like they all come over for dinner, and like I try make sure I see them all when I'm in town. But it's definitely hard. I think like my work life balance, I work so much that like the last time I had a day where it's like, what do I feel like doing today? I can't remember.
That's terrible.
I know.
I feel like you deserve that.
I know. Like, I can't imagine like waking up and being like, what do I feel like doing?
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, because I've got so much on my plate.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you just have a calendar that's like full to the brim of like,
oh yeah,
and then and then and then and then and then.
Yeah, up till like November. That's exhausting. I know what I'm doing on October 21st. I know what I'm doing on July 3rd. I know, like.
Is it nice at all just to have that much like going so that you know you're never gonna?
I like going and going because I've like the ADHD thing, like I love working, like I love it and I love doing things, but at the same time I'm like, God, I wish I had a day,
yeah,
where I could. But then also like I've got so much work I have to do, so then when I do have a day where it's like I need to just like choose what I want to do today, in the back of my mind I'm like, oh, I really should be working on my drum solo for the next tour, and yeah, I'm not going to be able to fit that in any other day, so I kind of have to do that today. Ugh. Or I've got, you know, something else to do. So my work-life balance is not good. It's not healthy, and I'm not going to be able to do it forever. So I've got to work on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's like how you lead to burnout, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Yeah,
but also it's kind of awesome because I feel like so much has, your career is like blowing up, right? I feel like in the last even 2 years, it's gone from like.
Yeah, it's gone pretty good, I think.
On like hyperdrive.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I think it's going pretty well. Like my last album I released last year went pretty well. And a big focus has been like trying to sell tickets in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously being an Aussie artist, you can get stuck just being an Australian artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a tour where I opened up for Fletcher, mm-hmm, and then I opened up for K-Flay, and then I started getting my own fan base here, and then I sold out a tour last year, and now I've got another tour that I'm about to go on, which is almost sold out. So, you know.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
It's good to try go over to another market.
Yeah, it is tough.
And have fans over there. So I'm really thankful for like anyone who wants to come see my show.
Yeah. Well, I have mostly American followers, so go see G's show.
What's please up, Americans?
Worst Person Alive is like one of my favorite songs of all time.
Really?
Yeah, literally. Oh. Listen to it all the time. I'm obsessed. Oh my God. And your cover of Cruel Summer, obviously, is incredible. Was that so cool with the Taylor Swift interaction of that?
Yeah.
Like, we have to talk about Taylor Swift just because her whole album today.
Yeah, I was listening last night.
Yeah, I already did it.
Did
all
you?
31 songs. All 31,
I know.
I did it.
I know. I was like, there's 16 songs in there. Oh, nope, 31 songs.
I was listening to the first 16 when the 15 came out. So I was like,
same.
I was like, I have a whole night. I have things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was up to like 3 doing it. And I was like, and then I woke up. I had a meeting and then I was like, then you were late and it was amazing because mm-hmm, I was not ready. So mm-hmm, it was perfect. Mm-hmm. But was that awesome? The Cruel Summer thing?
Yeah, for sure. I think I really love that song and I wanted to make it my own kind of version, which was more drummy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to keep like the emotional core of the lyrics by adding like a string section.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think that Taylor would ever see it, to be
yeah
quite honest, and to like it and think it was good.
It's awesome.
It was pretty. It's, you know, it was very cool.
That's so awesome. I feel like doing any cover, if like of a living artist,
yeah,
there's like, obviously that's the biggest honor you could get is the artist to like it and be like, good job with that.
Yeah.
And then one of the biggest artists in the world on top of that.
The biggest artist in the world.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was a very good day for me. I cried a lot of happy tears. And, you know, I'm just stoked she liked my arrangement of it because I, like, changed the key and the tempo and I wrote all these new parts for it and just tried to make it what it would be like if it was on, like, my album. Mm-hmm. So, and for her to think it was cool was very groovy. And
it's so sick.
It was very cool.
That's so awesome. Also, like, you really made it your own. You really did, you know.
Yeah.
But with still honoring it as it was, which is kind of, I feel like that's like the best thing that you can do with a cover.
Yeah.
And tough, I can imagine. I don't fucking know.
I just had fun with it. I didn't have a studio at the time, so I just had my MIDI keyboard in a spare bedroom in my house in Melbourne, and I was just staying up way too long just fucking around making my little MIDI.
Was it strings a hyper focus for a second?
Yes, it was.
It was another hyper focus.
It was.
And we should hang out.
We should defs hang out.
Yeah.
You were with the Beaches crew, weren't you?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'm playing a show with them in a few weeks.
Awesome. It's where?
In Florida.
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 Every single syllable of Florida.
I pronounced that one.
Yeah, you got it.
I think it's something St. Petersburg, maybe.
Is it
I
like a pride
know.
Thing?
No.
Just a show?
Just a show.
Fuck. Well, I wish I could go.
I think that's the right place. I might have got that wrong. There's like a lot of dates and a lot of places in America. This place is huge. And you can go 1 hour one way and they speak different.
It's massive.
And you guys are into weird shit and you eat different foods and you talk funny. And there's cowboys here and people wear cowboy hats.
It's true.
And then there's people who are like really hectic.
Yeah.
And then some Uber drivers really talk a lot of stuff. Yeah, and there's earthquakes here too. Yeah. And tornadoes. There's a whole section in America where there's fucking tornadoes going down. They've got sirens and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can be,
that's where I'm from.
You can eat some sushi one day and then there's an alarm going off and you got to run for cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hectic place, America.
Literally. G-Flip explains America. That's it.
It's hectic. I learned cornhole the other day.
You've never played before?
Cornhole? Yeah.
The game with like the
bags.
Yeah. What do you think?
It's funny. It's funny because it's real, real basic game.
Very. You can't mess it up.
You can't. Yeah. And you got to get it in.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah. It's.
I'm done.
You guys are funny. Your squirrels are funny. There's heaps of funny shit about this place.
Are squirrels?
Squirrels.
Are they different?
We don't have them.
What?
There ain't no squirrels in Australia.
At all?
No.
Well, we also don't have the spiders and snakes and
true.
Shit that you have.
We have spiders the size of your hand. I would wake up and I'd wake up and look in the corners of my room just expecting a this size spider. And like 3 times a year there would be one.
That's terrible.
They don't bite though. They're not harmful.
Are you scared of spiders?
Not a little bit of the bigger ones. But any of the small ones, no. And Chriselle is full arachnophobic.
No way.
Full arachnophobic. Like, well, her legs fail and she falls to the floor and it's a big deal and big screams.
Oh, my God. Has she gone to Australia with you?
Yeah, she was very reluctant. And every time she comes, I get my whole house sprayed. Because if she finds if there is a spider in my house, she'll never come back.
Yeah.
So I get it sprayed every time she's visiting. They come over and they do the outside and the inside, and I'm just terrified of the day that there is a spider she sees.
And then she's gonna be like, my stomach is really growling. Never come back. That's, do you hear this?
Yeah, it's full on.
Yeah, it's not, it's serious.
It's full on making sounds.
Wait, do you have any phobias?
The thought of being buried alive.
I was gonna say I'm claustrophobic. That's the only one.
Because I think when I was younger, my sister zipped me up in a beanbag. And then that made me a bit scared. And then one time I was in a hotel as a kid and I slipped down the side of the bed with my arms and legs enclosed. And that made me a bit scared of small spaces because I couldn't escape.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
The thought of like going head first, like climbing into like a cave or something and then not being able to get out backwards.
Retreat.
That is the freakiest thing to me.
Yeah.
So claustrophobia too.
Yeah. Claustrophobic. And kind of don't want to bungee jump ever.
No need.
I would maybe jump out of a plane, but bungee jumping, the thought of...
Is that you now?
That was my tummy.
Okay. We need to eat. Clearly. It's like an ultrasound. Wait, do you want to carry
God.
A baby?
No, I don't want to carry a baby.
No.
I have dreams, though. I have dreams
pregnant.
That I have sex with boys.
Me too.
Do you?
Yeah, but specifically, I give blowjobs.
Oh, whoa.
Isn't that terrible?
Whoa. Big dicks, small dicks. What are we working with?
Anything. All the time. It happens often. And
wow. I don't suck dick in my dreams. I'm just getting penetrated.
Is it a bad dream to you?
I'm kind of, yeah. But sometimes in the dream I'm enjoying it, but I like, it's weird. It's like I'll wake up and I'll be like, babe, I had sex with a guy last night.
Yeah.
It happens.
Mine in the moment doesn't feel like a nightmare, but when I wake up, I'm disturbed.
I can't believe you're sucking all this dick in your dreams, Shannon.
It does not make any sense. I don't know why. Something is going on.
No, I think it just, I would like to know other queer people if this happens to you, because it's like once every 2 months.
Yeah. It has to be common, right?
Yeah, it must be. I don't know.
I hope. I know. I mean, I definitely have sex too sometimes.
Wow. Yeah.
But the maybe it's just because the blowjobs is so traumatizing. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, the trauma
what
comes
back.
What
was I doing last night?
Wow. That's full on. Do you ever just walk out and say to your housemate, they're like, how was your sleep? You're like, oh, yes, sucking dick last night.
I do. I'm like, I had another blowjob dream. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Blowjob dreams.
Yeah. So please tell me you've had one of these also.
That's ballers. Hectic.
Wait, okay, but we both definitely have ADHD. So you wouldn't want to carry the baby though?
No.
Okay.
The thought of carrying a child doesn't thrill me.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I would want to do. Like if like my sister couldn't have a baby, or there was some circumstance where I needed to, you know,
do it
for the team, then I would, but I would fucking hate every second of it, because it just, the thought of it, it's just not.
Sound right.
Yeah, it's just not for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good thing
do
you
want
sometimes I'm like, yeah, I feel like I could do it. Like the thought of, I have dreams about being pregnant too, and I'm like,
really?
I feel like it would be kind of cute. Like the thought of it is kind of cute to me.
Hello.
Wearing these little outfits and then being like pregnant.
Yeah,
but
then there's going to be a little thing inside that's like
swimming around inside of me. Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing that is attractive to me about it is just that I think it's such a beautiful like phenomenon. Like how amazing are women that they can do that? And I'm like, crazy, I'm kind of one of those. So
yeah.
If I wanted to,
it is,
maybe
it
me
is
too.
Spectacular and beautiful and like, it's like a whole nother thing.
It's like the most badass thing I feel
it's
like you can do. That's,
it's fucking badass.
Yeah, that's what attracts me to it.
Yeah,
but
it's fucking, and imagine smacking out twins.
I don't want to imagine
triplets.
It. How is it possible?
Octuplets.
I don't want to think about that.
I reckon you could be an octuplet mama.
No, no. That would ruin me. But I do not have childbirthing hips either.
Yeah.
And that actually does scare me, because I think your body can a little bit change after you give birth.
Yeah.
And become a little more like feminine. And I kind of am obsessed with the fact that my body is not that feminine.
Yeah, same.
Like if my boobs got pretty like big, I don't know what I would, I think I'd be feeling
weird.
You
get big milky tits.
I don't know if I could do that part, you know?
I've got a secret big set of titties under here, but I wear binders. But I've got a pretty like, I think every person I've ever had sex with is always like
shocked.
Holy shit. What the fuck? Everyone.
The binders are, they work wonders.
Chriselle thinks that I have bigger boobs than her.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
She fully is like, you've got bigger boobs than me. I'm like, they're kind of the same, similar, but I do have actually quite a set of titties.
I guess that actually is like making me feel better, because I'm like, I guess if they got big, I could just wear a binder.
Yeah.
If I
like I smash them down with a binder.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep them forever?
I think at some stage I'll end up chopping them off.
Yeah.
I see that in my future, but right now at the moment I'm content. I've got so much work. I also, you know, when you chop your tits off, you can't.
I know. What would you
your
do?
Your arms like drumming, I'd be fucking out
for
a while.
While.
So I feel like I'd have to strategically
plan it
out. Yeah. But right now I'm
fine.
The binders are working fine. My schedule's too hectic to do it. And it's like the body dysphoria of it doesn't affect me too much that I like hate myself when I look in the mirror. Like I kind of still feel like myself even though I've got a set of tits, but I know at some stage I'll probably want to go stop, stop, chop them off.
Even the way you said that, it like sounds like they're a foreign entity on your body. I've got a set of tits, like they're like not yours, but they're there.
Yeah,
they come
yeah.
with me where I go.
Yeah, they come around. They come around with me.
Okay, well, I feel like we talked about so much. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun.
Okay. I'm like, we both should eat food.
We definitely, food should be on the priority list.
Yeah.
Okay. I always forget. I think that is also just an ADHD thing.
It is, especially in the morning. It's just in the morning. Then I get so hungry that I'm like, whoa, did I eat today? And then I'm like, no. And then
I love cookies.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh,
good. Do you eat them in the morning?
If I have them left over from the night before,
you'll eat them.
Do you like cookies?
Yeah, I love cookies. I had cookies last night.
What's your, from where?
This place called,
do you know Insomnia Cookies?
Yeah, of course.
I love Insomnia Cookies.
Of course. The place I got them from was called something about,
what's your favorite food?
Probably pasta.
I love pasta.
Yeah,
I love pasta.
I like vodka sauce.
I love vodka sauce. I love a spag bowl. I love the tagliatelle.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite food? Just cookies?
Pasta and cookies. I love pasta and cookies.
And this is why little kids love you. They're like, we're the same.
Yeah. Pasta and cookies and maybe a, no, just pasta and cookies.
Do you feel like, what kind of questions do you think you'd ask if you had your own podcast?
What do you like cookies?
What's your favorite food?
Yeah. Are you into cookies? If I had a podcast, I don't know. I've been asked to do a podcast before.
Really?
Like agencies who put podcasts together have kind of wanted to poach me to do one.
Mm-hmm.
I just talk about shit, I think.
Yeah.
I think I'd get deep on some levels, mm-hmm. but the other side would just be really surface level, funny, weird shit.
Yeah. I feel like you would be a great podcast host.
Yeah, it's just a lot of effort.
It's a lot of talking.
Are you tired?
I'm a little tired.
Yeah, and then you edit everything.
Yeah, but I love it for the guest aspect of it because...
You've had some cool people.
So cool. Like, I'm so stoked that you're here. And I think that for... Like, I've been online for so long and doing the YouTube thing for so long, and a lot of it was solo, and that's like so much... of you coming up with like the ideas and like it's exciting that every episode is different and it all depends on who is sitting next to me, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone has such interesting stories to tell. I think the one thing, the pressure I feel is I just want to make sure I'm like asking the right questions so you get like the cool parts of people, because everyone is cool and
everyone,
I just
want to
like highlight them in the best way.
How funny are people?
So funny.
We're all
so weird
walking around,
so weird. And I'm stoked too with the queerness of it all, because I'm like, these are the conversations I want to hear or would have wanted to hear when I was younger.
Yeah.
Even literally like that a lesbian I looked up to had a blowjob dream. I would have loved to know.
It happens.
G, what do you have going on? What should people look out for?
What should you look out for?
A tour?
I'm going on tour in May and June around the USA, and I'm going to be coming maybe to a place near you, and you should come to the show because it's a fun show and I play lots of drums and I have a sing and I like to hang out and I like playing music, so you should attend.
I concur, you should attend. I want to attend. Okay, yeah, and I'll have all of G's information in the bio below and the tour dates and stuff so you can check it out and see if they're coming near you. All right. Thank you for watching.
Bye, everyone. Have a splendid day.